our reading today is quite a long one. I'd really like you to think about each verse carefully as I read them out. I do go on a little bit longer than the slides, and that was my error in the last number, I'm afraid. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land and gathered waters. He called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vaults of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be the lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. Wow. Firstly, this isn't a talk where we will discuss the never-ending topic of creation versus evolution, which neither Christians nor scientists have ever been able to completely rationalise. What we do know, however, is that our world began with a creator, the origin of a creator. Our world and all that's in it cannot not be an accident. Genesis tells us not only of God's creation, but of his plan. Like most things God wants for us, he reveals it bit by bit and then tells us exactly as it is. He tells us how each layer was put in place, and then as the next layer came, it gave breath to the things that would fill it. Without the land, there could not be the water. Without the water, we couldn't grow vegetation or have the fish that would feed us, and so on. It's not chance, it's a process. As we receive one thing, it gives life and sustains the next. If God did all this for me and you, how can we bear witness to our gratitude, our love and care for the world? My first trip back to Kenya in 2012, to the remote and very local town of Molo, which wasn't a tourist destination, I was shocked and saddened at the rubbish that I saw and the way that they threw their rubbish, how they seemed not to care about what they threw and where they threw it. But at other times, I was surprised at their ingenuity of reusing things. How the kids would make a football from endless amounts of plastic bags and string, or the plastic bottles they would use to store things. In one way, it seemed so backward, but in another, so forward-thinking, as waste had a completely different meaning. On the one hand, sweet wrappers and crisp packets would be dropped on the ground. And on the other hand, when they finished with them, plastic bottles and cartons would be used again, a bit like we would purchase Tupperware. Then, visiting India this year, I thought to myself, why is the problem still the same? 10 years later, I'm walking around and still seeing a country that's suffering in the same way, struggling with rubbish and waste and not knowing what to do with it. Why hasn't anything changed? How do you feel about rubbish? Do you consider what happens to it? How do you feel about recycling? Is it just an inconvenience? We're going to watch two videos.
We don't tend to think much about our rubbish after we've thrown it away. It just sort of disappears. Even when we do the right thing and recycle, that just involves a different coloured bin. We throw away things like plastic bottles and think, that's it, sorted, job done.
But that's not how rubbish works, especially in countries that don't have good waste management systems in place. In fact, 1 in 4 people across the world don't have their rubbish collected. They live among mountains of waste, a toxic problem that is killing people every day. That's why Bin Twinning exists. We're raising funds for local waste enterprises to be set up in some of the poorest countries, like the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Here in Kinshasa, plastic waste is a huge problem. Kinshasa used to be called Kinshasa La Belle. Now it's called Kinshasa La Poubelle. When the rains come, plastic clogs the waterways. The rivers flood, and this spreads diseases. And this is where poorer people live, so they are affected the most. In the DRC, one way we are solving the problem of waste is by turning bottles into bricks. Let me show you how it works. The community gets paid to collect plastic waste. The plastic arrives here. We melt it down. Add sand. Pour it into a mold.
Et voilà.
This brick is helping to prevent diseases. It's protecting the environment and it's creating jobs. This project is fantastic, but we need more of them.
That's where you can join in. We would love you to twin your bin today to help support amazing waste projects all around the world.
Our world has a rubbish problem. We're facing mountains of it. It's gathering in rivers, piling up in cities, collecting in the streets, and flooding communities. 2 billion of us, one in four, have no way to get rid of it, forced to live among it, with no option but to dump or burn it. That releases toxic fumes, damaging people's health, choking neighbourhoods and our climate, and causing up to 1 million deaths a year. And all the while, it piles higher, our addiction to single-use plastics adding to the heap. But in the face of the crisis, Jesus, you speak. You tell us boldly, this is not your plan. Even with faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move the mountain. With you and our faith and action, it is possible.
Right now, we have a moment to make the mountain move for good, to put an end to this rubbish problem. Plans have begun for the first ever worldwide solution for plastic pollution. We could see the creation of a global plastics agreement.
But to make it happen, we need you to add your voice to thousands of others to demand an end to plastic pollution and its impact on people living in poverty.
Take action today and help us move this rubbish mountain.
So, firstly, about Tearfund. Tearfund is a Christian charity which partners with churches in more than 50 of the world's poorest countries, and they tackle poverty and injustice through sustainable development by responding to disasters and challenging injustice. They believe an end to extreme poverty is possible, and Tearfund also run the Twinning charity. There are two reasons to watch these films today, and the first one is that our anniversary thank offering this year has been proposed to support the Twinning programme. So if you've used the toilets here, you might have noticed that our toilets are twinned. I've forgotten which country it is, but I've also twinned mine at home, and mine is with the Congo. And the twinning programme has got bigger and bigger, and bin twinning is the latest thing. And when that was sent to me, because of Earth Day, they were sending, over the whole week, they were sending a different video every day, and I thought that was really interesting, because I'd gone to Kenya and India probably both times with the attitude that people were a bit lazy and they weren't really caring for their environment and thinking about what they did with their rubbish. It was just rubbish. Not actually that they didn't have resources in place or had actually been educated as to how to safely dispose of it and ways that they could use it. So there's no better time to consider really what the earth means to us and what we think of when we hear the word earth. Is recycling more or less convenient now that you've watched the film, I wonder? As you can get fed up with washing out bottles and yoghurt pots and things and thinking, oh, I could easily just throw that in the bin. But actually, I think after watching that, you would think about that a little bit more the next time, and it's not such an inconvenience. Especially when you put out your recycling and your rubbish and you realise that actually, you've got very little rubbish now if you do it properly. You might have half a black sack a week, and you could have two bags of recycling. So it just shows what we could really be doing. And I'm sure in the future we'll get that down. But rubbish only becomes rubbish when there is no use for it anymore. And if there is no means for disposal of something you no longer want, what do you do with it? It almost feels like a privilege to me now to be able to recycle, to know that there's an end destination for my rubbish and it's not in our local river. So why so much rubbish? Is it for them because there are no bins or no education or just a complete vicious circle? It certainly makes me feel different about the problem that they have. What does the earth mean to you? What springs to mind? When I say Earth Day 2023, what would you think that meant? When you think of climate, do you just think of climate protesters? Or do you just find the things they do irritating? Or do you think about what it means to them and why they do it? Of course, it's not convenient or safe to have them glue themselves to the road or climb the Dartford Bridge, and I'm by no means condoning their methods of getting our attention. We all want a better way, but it definitely gets our attention. But we would undoubtedly choose a quiet method. But what could you do quietly? What could you do that could be seen and heard without noise? When you go to the cinema and you have drinks and popcorn, do you take your rubbish out or do you leave it in the cinema for the staff to collect? It's not really about the rubbish not being collected, because it would be. It's about the responsibility for your waste, for others seeing your responsibility for your waste, for your children seeing your responsibility for your waste. When our children were growing up, as Ruby would probably tell you because she's here today, they would say, leave it. Why are you taking it? Someone collects it. But I noticed in later years going out with them that they would actually do the same. They would take theirs out too. The videos that we watched showed us not only the process of dealing with waste, but that the countries need education. And if that was in place, the whole world would be able to understand what happens when we don't deal with the problem properly and waste only a small part. The fruitfulness of God's blessing knows no bounds. Aren't we then duty-bound to look after it? God is generous, loving, and the magnitude of his provision is never-ending. Is what we are doing fighting with God's position? Provision. Have we become so clever in production and growth that as much as God provides for us, we use it for more, but not for his glory, but for our satisfaction? Everything our earth produces, we use and at times overuse for greed. Plastic is produced with elements of natural products, yet it doesn't break down due to the process. God provides for us, yet we misuse our resources. If someone lends you something, do you look after it more or less? Do you worry about it more? God has lent us the earth for future generations. If I asked you to look after something that you use every day, as one day you would have to leave it to your children, your partner, or your best friend, you would, wouldn't you? It would be the most care you could give something if you were leaving it to someone you loved. Let us remember the key thing God is saying to us in this passage. If we looked at the final verses, God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky. The language is inclusive. Let us in our. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit in it, with seed in it. They will be yours for food. Again, listen to the language. I give you, they will be yours. It's no small gift and it's no small responsibility. We're not responsible only for our small patch of home, our little patch of stock, Billericay, Chelmsford, or wherever you live. We've been entrusted with it all. There are lots of ideas on small changes you can make on earthday.org. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of creation. The book of Genesis describes to us the majesty of your creation and the depth and breadth of your provision for us. We pray for your guidance and your wisdom as we accept the role of caring for all that you have given us. Help us to find ways to act now so your earth continues to bless future generations. We pray that you will help us to understand fully the impact our decisions have on our environment, no matter how big or how small they may be. May we be reminded daily of the incredible gift we have in our earth. We thank you, Father, for all that you provide, the water we drink, the food we eat, and the air that we breathe. We ask you to guide us in our mission to protect our planet and to alert us to ways we can help those in countries less developed than ours. We pray for a time, Lord, where there is clean water for people all around the world. We pray for those around the world still reeling from natural disasters and trying to rebuild their lives due to climate change. We thank you, Father, for all the animals of the earth, and we ask that you will guide us as we watch over them, protect them, and help them to thrive. In Jesus' name, Amen.